Moncrief on News Talk.
Anecdotally, at least, there are many stories about Irish people abandoning plans to travel to the US. Similarly, it's being reported that football fans are cancelling their applications for World Cup tickets. But is this a useful form of protest? Adrian Weckler of the Irish Independent thinks it isn't. Good afternoon, Adrian.
Good afternoon, Sean.
What are your reasons for this?
Because the main reasons is that most of the places we go are actually the places that are trying to resist the very thing that we are trying to protest against by not going to the US. So what I mean by that is, if you look at the figures about where Irish people go, they don't typically go to Missouri or Oklahoma or North Dakota. They go to New York, Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Yes, they also go to Orlando, but the vast majority of the places that we go to are what's called, are what are called sanctuary cities. They're in blue states, which are the ones that are most strongly trying to resist what's happening with the crackdowns in the US. In other words, if you agree with them, if you were thinking of cancelling your travel to the US because you don't want that country to profit from your business, when what's going on, when you're looking at the TV or what's going on in Minnesota, what you're actually really doing, if you were planning on going to New York or Boston or Minneapolis or Chicago, what you're really doing is you're depriving the local businesses there and you're making it harder for them.
Yeah.
That's my argument.
Right. Okay. It strikes me, though, that a lot of Irish people don't want to travel to the US out of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's valid. So I was reading, for example, the proposals from the Border Patrol. By the way, that's the same organization that whose agent shot Alex Pretty in Minnesota at the weekend. Their proposals, some of those we have heard about. That's the social media. You need to, you will need to upload your social media details from the last 5 years. But specifically, they're targeting the ESTA. Now, most listeners will know that the ESTA is the thing that we all use when we're going to the States. It's actually a visa-free system, and it's quite simple. You just put your details in, your passport details, a few other things, and you usually get it back in 24 hours, 48 hours. And what they want to do is tighten that up. And it's not just, you know, your social media. You're looking at things like, you know, a live selfie, for example, as well as your passport. They'll also want you to do things like give them a selfie when you've left the country, just to show that you've not overstayed. So I do get that. I understand that there is this kind of fear of, oh, you know, they're gathering too much information. What if they look into some Facebook joke I made 6 years ago and, you know, where I slagged off Donald Trump? I understand that. But if your reason for not going is, you know, to show at a protest and to teach Donald Trump a lesson, I don't think that would actually work.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Adrian, is that whether there are blue states or red states, a majority of Americans voted for this. Now, he's not so popular now, but that's mostly to do with the price of eggs. They voted for the racism.
Yeah. Do you know what? I would have a different take on that. You are correct. Technically, America voted for Donald Trump. I was there at the time. All seven swing states voted for Trump. He is the legitimate president of all Americans. I completely accept that. At the same time, if you've ever been to America, and I've been to all 50 states, you understand that most of those 50 states actually have pretty different ecosystems. You can't tell somebody who's from Minnesota that they're the same as someone from Mississippi. They're very, very different cultures, very, very different states. And so, you know, if you're saying that to hell with you, I'm going to hold a lot of you accountable at the same time, I don't think that would wash in Chicago. If you say, well, there's no difference between you and people in Houston, you know, I think technically you are absolutely right, but just to be completely clear about where the money goes, when you buy something in a shop in Chicago, there's no such thing as federal VAT. They don't have like a VAT that goes to the government, that goes to their equivalent, what our equivalent would be of Donald Trump. It's a sales tax. It's around 10%. But about 6% of that goes to the state and about 4% goes to the city. But none of it goes to the federal government. You're directly helping those mayors and those politicians, the majority of which are trying to rally support against the regime over there. Okay. Again, I'm coming back to my argument about local businesses, local government officials. They, above all, who, by the way, feel a lot more strongly about this than we do, they want to feel that they're being seen and they're being supported and that they have kind of brothers and sisters abroad. At least that's the message they tell me. I have a lot of family in Chicago, and that's what they tell me.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there may be lots of ways of expressing that support without necessarily traveling there. And is this analogous to the argument of there were people in apartheid South Africa who were risking their lives opposing that regime, but people decided not to go there to isolate that country? You could make a similar argument about Israel. There are lots of people who were appalled about what the IDF has done in Gaza. Within Israel, but that doesn't necessarily mean we support Israel.
No, absolutely. I would draw a distinction between traveling to, say, a state like Illinois or Massachusetts and traveling to Israel now or South Africa at the height of apartheid. And, you know, listeners may have their very varying views and differing views on all of those situations. But in South Africa and in Israel, it is one government that actually controls, pretty much everything. So if you were going to South Africa, I think Queen went to play a gig actually in South Africa, in Sun City, during apartheid. But that was that money and that was a propaganda coup for the government at the time that people would still go to South Africa. I think the difference here is that in those states, if you wanted to send a similar message, then you wouldn't go to Disney World. You wouldn't go to Texas. You wouldn't go to Nashville. You know, you would instead just go to, you know, the blue states that are trying to resist. But I take the point, all right, that there are different ways of expressing your opinion about this. It's just interesting to me that I hear people who were going to go to visit family in, you know, Brooklyn or the Bronx or Long Island. And now they're saying, I'm not going over there because I don't want to support Donald Trump. I think you're doing the opposite. I think you're leaving Brooklyn and Bronx and the Bronx and Long Island to people who support Donald Trump because you won't be there.
At the same time, Ireland isn't the only country, I suppose, or Irish people aren't the only ones facing this country. If there's a marked decline in people visiting the United States since Donald Trump assumed office, that sends a massive signal domestically in the United States, I would have thought. It also affects the economy within the United States, which again will put pressure on Donald Trump.
Well, and go back to my first point that five of the six places that Irish people go to in the States are blue states with blue economies that are largely self-contained from the federal economy. So you're right, it will hurt the economy. It'll hurt the economy of places like, you know, Illinois, New York and Massachusetts. It won't really hurt the economy of Washington or the White House. And you're also right that in a normal era, you might think that the, you know, whatever the Chamber of Commerce figures, the secretary would go to Donald Trump and say, Mr. President, we've got bad news. Our tourist numbers are down and we think you should, you know, maybe we should reverse course and change our plans. I don't think there's anybody listening to this who would think that would have one iota of a difference on the way the current regime thinks. So,
he reacts to markets. That seems to be the only thing he's aware of.
He reacts to markets eventually, like he reacted when U.S. bonds fell. But at the moment, the dollar, for example, has crashed to $1.20 for a euro at the moment. He doesn't seem to be changing course at all because that, by the way, huge irony here, because it's $1.20, it means if you do go to the States, you do go to visit your relatives, you're going to be, you know, you will get unbelievable value. I've done different articles on how much you save by buying a laptop or an iPhone or something all there. Now you'd literally save €400 or €500. Anyway, that's a different topic.
That's an ill wind and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, say two other points. On a federal level, and Donald Trump made no secret of this before he was elected, he regards Europe as an enemy, as a foe, as he described them. So should we travel to a country that were on a federal level, they regard us as citizens of an enemy state or an enemy conglomeration, whatever way they describe it?
Yeah, I don't know. You see, I travel to the States a lot, and I don't regard Donald Trump as being the boss of Americans. He's the legitimate president. He was elected. He is their president. Absolutely. 100%. And yet at the same time, there's at least 150 million Americans who don't pay much regard to him. You go to downtown Chicago, New York, they don't give a damn what Donald Trump says for the most part. And that's the community you're visiting. And, you know, I don't know whether people should pay too much heed to, you know, some rambling posts that Donald Trump has on Truth Social when it comes to their own lives and when it comes to getting them out. Donald Trump will be gone at some point. America will still be there. And let's, you know, I would like to hope that he's not going to succeed in alienating, you know, Ireland and Europe in the long term.
Mm. The other thing, though, is that, you know, the appalling events in Minnesota, ICE aren't there in numbers because there's a massive illegal immigration problem in Minnesota. They're there because it's a blue city and a blue state.
Absolutely.
Which makes all the other blue cities and blue states who are more likely to visit targets for him in the future. That comes back to the fear element for people, too.
Yeah, it does, I suppose. And maybe the two elements that maybe you might worry that if I go to Minneapolis, there's a direct flight, there's an Aer Lingus direct flight from Dublin to Minneapolis, or I go to Chicago or Boston or, you know, New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco, blue states, maybe that I might somehow get caught up in that. My personal direct experience of that is that it is minuscule. It's almost impossible. So, and the reason I say that, last summer, I went to cover the LA riots for the Irish Independent. And what was remarkable about that, so I was up at the front line of the riots and with all the heavily armed soldiers and police, and it was very intimidating. But it was isolated to a handful of spots and most of the entire city of LA. I mean, like 98, 99% of it, you couldn't see a sign of it. So the idea that you might get caught up in all of this or that it's dangerous is very, very unlikely. That's like Americans who in the 80s wouldn't come to Dublin because they might think, well, what if I get blown up by an IRA bomb? You couldn't tell them that Belfast was, you know, 100 miles away and that, you know, other than the 70s, we almost never saw anything like that down here. But that's the impression. So I understand it's a legitimate fear.
Yeah. Also, it should be pointed out that given the current political temperature in the US, if this conversation was taking place on an American radio station at this stage, you'd be screaming at me that I'm a woke extreme leftist and I'd be calling you a Nazi. So we should be thankful for that. Adrian, thanks a million for talking to us today. That's Adrian Weckler, their technology editor for the Irish Independent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.